Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Thing I Love Most show. Once again, myself, Noel, joined by Skype. We have Lee Curtin. Mr. Lee Curtin, welcome to the show.
Evening, chaps.
We have Big Bad Don. Big Bad Don, welcome back.
Evening, guys.
Evening. And we have Kevin. We have a first-time pundit slash guest slash expert, whatever you want to call yourself, Kevin. Welcome to the show. So we're going to talk about your Spurs history later on, Kevin, because we do that with all of our guests. So we're going to talk about obviously the last week or so since we last spoke on the show. And so basically we're going to cast our minds back now to what was an incredible night at the new stadium, the victory against Manchester City. It was another one of those games where I think a lot of us would have taken 0-0 at the beginning of the game, probably at half-time in the game, and probably definitely about 75 minutes a game. But then obviously after 80 minutes, once Son had scored, we were just like, oh my God, 1-0 was just unbelievable. Overall, some amazing performances once again from the team. We were surprisingly compact. We still limited them to hardly any shots on target, really. I think Lloris didn't really have a save to make, bar the obviously penalty in the first half. But it was a really, really ground out performance, I thought, and it was great to see Winks back. Obviously a shame now that he seems to have got himself injured again. But let's cast our minds back then. And Lee, if I might start with you, what was your sort of overall opinion of the match, and did you expect it to be as tight as it was? Did you expect it to only be one goal, and were you surprised by any of the performances or lack of performances from any of our players?
It was first of all, it was a cracking result. And I thought they all stood up to the challenge, to be fair to them. 1-0. Yeah, I think it's one of those, really. You would have taken a 1-0 from the start. You would have bit somebody's hands off. But that's probably based on the fact that we kind of view City as a real attacking threat. And you kind of summed it up. We nullified their threat. We seem to cut off their outlet to Raheem Sterling. And that's probably where most of their danger was always going to come from. And we did a good job of cutting that off at the, from the providers, from the source. So I thought Poch got his tactics right. He obviously done a bit of work on it in terms of how we minimalise their threat and then probably try to break and maximise our own. I thought maybe we could have... It's a funny one. You always get a bit greedy, really, don't you? Because when you look back at it, I thought it was probably good enough for two goals out there on the night. But no, I look back and it was a good all-round performance. And I know there was kind of some mixed views on it because a lot of people thought Sissoko was very good. And while he wasn't bad and, you know, he made up for it at the weekend, as we'll get to, and the weekend before he was awesome, I thought he was found lacking in terms of positional sense. But I mean, when you look back at his stats, and there were some stats after the game, he still posted some great stats in terms of tackles and passes completed, which are normally sideways, but you know, credit where it's due. He did a great job, but I thought it was one of his weaker games, funnily enough. So there was a couple of players who just kind of got by, which kind of then says to me, you know what? When you look at it, we put out a strong 11 against their strong 11 and everyone turns up on the day. We've got their number. We've got their number.
Do you think that we were helped, Don, by the selection or non-selection, as it were, of De Bruyne and Asane? Because obviously they then proved yesterday against Crystal Palace when they were involved in the goals for Sterling that they are providers and they are goal scorers. So when they paid Mahrez, obviously, and they didn't, they rested De Bruyne or whatever they did, whatever Pep chose to do. Did that play into our hands in terms of they had less creativity?
Most definitely. I think that De Bruyne was definitely missed from their starting lineup. And, you know, thinking about it, they're going for the quadruple. And, you know, it was a chance for him to maybe, in some ways, try and rest some players. And that was his downfall, I think. You know, I think De Bruyne, not so much Sane, but I think De Bruyne would have made a difference to their team. Mahrez is, I mean, Lee pointed it out earlier on, and I think we did nullify them. And Mahrez didn't really do much. He did, you know, he was always sort of trying to work on the peripherals. Definitely, for me, if he'd come on later on, maybe he would have had more of an effect. But he wasn't up to it in my books.
Kevin, what were your thoughts? Do you think that firstly, talking about formation, were you surprised that he went like for like and he went for a back four? Because sometimes in these Champions League games before, he has liked to go to a back three to be a little bit more solid at the back. But it seemed to work. And Trippier was actually reasonable, which obviously is a rarity these days defensively. So what were your thoughts?
I don't know. I still think a solid back four is... Yes, you've got the extra centre-back with three, but you've always got that risk with the wing-backs, leaving space in behind. And like I say, Trippier hasn't been really at the races this season. So I always think a solid back four, you can... Yeah, OK, full-backs in this day and age are basically wingers wherever they play, but you can always keep them back if you need to. So you're cutting the space down behind. So I prefer back four, but I'm an old-school defender, so that's always going to be my stance on it. You know, with wing-backs, you know, you get caught on a counter-attack. Like you said, Man City can kill you with one or two passes with the pace they've got, regardless who they've got on the pitch. So I'm always going to favour a flat back four, because you can then always drop a centre midfielder in to give you that extra man in front protection if you need it. So I was quite happy with a four. I'm always happy with a four. But...
Funny you should mention that about being an old school defender. So what was your take on the VAR? What was your take on the Danny Rose handball? Is this now something we got to be used to now? Do you think in terms of the fact that it wasn't it? You know, there was no intention there. I mean, that's obvious, but obviously now that seems to not even bother.
Do you know what I think VAR is highlighting? It's highlighting the fact that the rules around handball are not clear enough anyway. VAR or no VAR. They should just make the rules a bit more clearer. If it hits your hand, regardless of where it is, if it's outside of your body, if it hits your hand, it's a penalty. So then you're just to be debating, okay, we was unlucky today because it hit our hand in an unfortunate incident. It was only, but you take away the whole grey area. At the moment, there's too much grey area around it. Did he mean it? Was it away from his body? So you, at the end of the day, the people making the VAR decisions are still human, so they're going to get all different opinions. So we're going to be debating it for ages, to be honest.
I did think it was interesting from the whole BT Sport pundits, what they were saying, and all of the ex-players did agree that, you know, to go and try and block a tackle, you can't go with your hands by your side. No. Your body doesn't work that way. Your body needs balance, and it's just impossible. Like, you know, if you're in a wall and you're blocking a free kick, keep your hands by side. But when you're sliding in for a tackle like that, there's obviously going to be balance, or else you will injure yourself. So it seems ridiculous that they will say that.
Yeah, with the Rose example, I think when you're sliding, again, you might need to slay a tweak to the rule as if you're in a standing position, because sliding is a completely different thing with your arms. But if you remember a few seasons back, defenders did start getting into the habit of basically every time they go, and they look stupid, they look like penguins. They were defending like that. But then that seems to have gone out the window, because everyone just seems to have stopped doing it. We're going to talk about it for ages.
Yeah, that was that. I mean, the only thing I would say on it is, as you allude to there, Kev, when you're sliding in, your first hand always goes to ground first to break a complete collapse of your fall. The second one is just natural for it's your body, so you'd go through. So it would be up a little bit. So the only thing I would question there is, if the referee on the pitch thinks you've extended your arm, and an extension would be, as you slide in, is extending away to block a shot, that should be the only time you go back to VAR. And the geezer on the pitch should be the same as the geezer in the room looking at it, saying, he's extended his arm. At the moment, you've got a guy on the pitch refereeing going, I'm okay with a corner. And then somebody gets in his ear and goes, can we have a look at that? And he says, okay. So you've got two referees now, and even they can't get it right. And one of them's guessing with videos, and it's not natural. You know, you can see somebody extend their arm. You can see it. You can see the extension of the arm. You can also see a natural body movement. And this is what concerns me about the game moving forward. If we can't work out that that's a natural body movement to slide down and break your fall, first of all, and then the second one is momentum bringing your arm through, that's fine. But if they can't tell the difference between that and then putting your arm up to block a shot, then the game's in trouble. We've got a problem with the game.
But he was bringing his arm down, wasn't he? That was the
exactly,
thing. It was close to his body by the time the actual impact hit. And as we said, it's about a clear and obvious error. And that was, it wasn't clear and obvious at all. No. That's the most frustrating thing.
And then you flick channels and then you go to Trent Alexander-Arnold, who through no fault of his own, nearly catches the ball. It nearly stood there in his hands, And they go, no, it's fine, as you were. So there you go. You've got four referees in theory, two in a room, two on a pitch, and they've come up with two different results. So it's going to throw the game into all sorts.
Yeah,
it does need a lot of tweaking. But one immediate thing I think they should change: if the three guys sitting in a room can't make their mind up and saying to the referee, "Go and look at that," how is he going to get any better opinion? He's looking at the same pictures. That's slowing that game down.
Yeah.
If anything, they should just, if they can't decide between three people in a room, just carry on. Don't even tell the referee about it.
Yeah.
You know, that's where you're killing the game for no reason, because then you're just making four people. I mean, you've got three people in the room, you've got a majority decision. You know,
they obviously wasn't sure,
so they should just let the game go on.
Yeah, it is a debate that rumbled on. Don, atmosphere. Talk to me about atmosphere, because that was incredible to be a part of that. It was literally blew the flipping speakers off or whatever it was. It was mental. It was mental. What did you make of it?
Well, I'll tell you what I made of it, because I didn't actually go to the game, so I'm very jealous about not being there. But by all accounts, White Hart Lane was rocking again. Absolutely rocking. You could see the fans were just up for it from, minute one all the way through to the 90th minute. I've been lucky enough to go to the majority of Champions League games at the Old Lane. And I know it wouldn't have been any different. The stadium must have been rumbling. It looked like it. And Champions League nights were special at the Lane. No two ways about it.
It was special. So obviously we'd managed to get a clean sheet. We'll talk about the sort of the next leg, as it were, in a little bit. But were you surprised that Man City didn't offer as much going forward, Lee?
Yeah, oh no, 100%, because I think that's Man City's strength. You know, when you look at their goalkeeper, he's still quite suspect. I know everybody admires him, the way he can ping a ball and the way he gives an attack of the eyes and does a Cruyff turn, well, that's great. That's, brilliant party tricks, but he's still suspect. So when you look at it, you got a goalkeeper who they paid over the odds for and rarely gets exposed just because of their attacking threat. You've got Otamendi, who wouldn't get into my team in a million years. You've got, who's the lad that they chucked out on the left? Yeah, well, we'll get to Delph in a minute.
I already saw your post on Facebook. I'm not talking about Delph of you.
All right, don't start me off. In a nutshell, I think they got what they deserved on Tuesday night, because I thought he tried to mug us off a little bit. When you roll out Delph, when you roll out Laporte, when you roll out Otamendi, right, that team ain't winning Champions League, right? And he took a bit of a liberty rolling two of those out. And Mahrez further up the pitch. He tried to mug us off a little bit. So in all fairness, Man City's strength to this day still lies within their attacking six players. And that's where they win games. That's where they put teams to the sword. And because he chose to dilute that a little bit, I think they thought they could soak us up and hit us with a little bit of pace. So, yeah, he got it wrong. And you know what? He's got to... Yeah, we're gonna. Wednesday night will be interesting.
Okay, we will.
Bet your bottom dollar, Delph won't be on the pitch.
Stop. Told you about pointing before.
Sorry.
Okay, so we do have to briefly touch on the Harry Kane injury. It was obviously incredibly sad to see and frustrating to see. The challenge obviously didn't need to be made, but I think, on reflection, that's the kind of game that you can sort of realize and sort of accept that sort of pumped up feeling that Kane had at that time to want to slide in for that challenge. That was what we wanted from the game, I think. So it's frustrating because it was a pointless challenge. However, I think, Don, you probably agree that, you know, there was all about sort of the adrenaline going through him at that moment, which is what it's all about.
Absolutely. I think just prior to him making those challenges, we saw, you know, the likes of Fernandinho, you know, putting the elbow in and stuff like that. And although, you know, you saw a reaction there and then, I think that you know, that wound him up.
Yeah.
And you know, as a result of that, he maybe put in a challenge that he shouldn't have put in. I'm not saying he wasn't up for it beforehand, but, you know, he's playing in a, you know, in that sort of hoddle role, a lot deeper down the pitch. And to go and get that, you know, back to goal, and then for Fernandinho to do that, I just think that after that, he was just going after everything. And yeah, it's a shame. It's a real shame for us for the rest of our season. You know,
but it doesn't mean the end. It doesn't mean the end.
We're definitely not. You know, I mean, we'll probably touch on this later on, but we all know how we can play without him. We've seen that twice already this season, and we survived. So, you know, we can only look forward. And unfortunately, it's not as bad as people think it is.
No. So, Kev, would you say that it's more of a worry, not the actual challenge itself, but the fact that it is the same ankle and it's the same injury that happened earlier on in the season? Should that be a major worry about his future in the game, in terms of, or can it be repaired via an operation? We'll talk to Lee about it, because he has some experience of kicking ball a little bit, but, you know. We'll speak to you first. So what would you think about that? The fact is there now a sort of a weak tissue area there that needs strengthening somehow, or what do you think the situation is?
It's always a concern when it's the same. Is it the same ankle every time now, or is he?
No, the first one was the right ankle, but then the last two times has been left.
Yeah, I mean, I've done my ankle ligaments when I was young, and I've never done them again. I've done them both, but they do seem to feel a bit different, but I mean, they get care every day. It could just be unfortunate, if I'm totally honest. But, you know, the more times it happens, you do start to think. I don't know. Everyone's body's different at the end of the day. Some players, you know, won't hardly suffer at all.
Lee, what do you think?
So just before that, I just want to say something. Do you feel that on this last occasion he came back too early?
And no, that's, I don't. You know,
no, that's I don't all think
of
so. You guys.
I don't think he came back too early. I don't personally.
The medical support they've got and everything, they wouldn't rush him back if it wasn't ready. Which then comes back to your original question, Noel, that is there an issue with their just not strong enough full stop? He just might be born like that, we don't really know. But yeah.
Lee, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think real quick, I don't think I think he made a speedy recovery last time, but you know, we're not going to roll, and Tottenham ain't going to roll him out if he's not 100%. I think that Burnley game, on paper, we would have looked at that and gone, Son's on fire. You know, leave Harry another week if we had to. But he came on, and although that didn't go our way, he still looked the sharpest player on the pitch, and he looked the fittest. So, no, I think, you know, and medically, we have some great professionals, some great doctors around that will tell us whether he's up to it or not. But I think there is a problem with the way, you know, with the way his ankle gives way in that position. There lies a problem there. And I think ultimately, like that, when they're obviously bending and twisting to a certain angle before they overly strain or give way. So I know they've talked about an operation where they may kind of, you know, sever them to restitch them, which will make him stronger. But I think ultimately that means him not participating for England during the summer. So then you get down to speaking to Harry Kane himself and asking him what he wants to do. And he's on the verge of making history of England, potentially. Or, you know, it's been a few years before anything's come home, let alone this Nations Cup. But I think a lot of England fans will take it. So, you know, as the England captain, I can't see him settling for surgery at this point. And I think he thinks he can, you know, he'll come through it again and rebuild and strengthen. But there was a couple of things. One, we alluded to, and that was the adrenaline. And two, the City players targeted him. They got him going. They did ruffle him up.
And every now and then you see Harry have a little, he'll have a little kick out, he'll have a little flick. He's quite, you know, obviously he comes across as quite, you know, well-mannered, and, you know, he'll have a little push and a shove, but there was a lot of off the ball stuff going on at him. And, you know, Otamendi came at him first, then Fernandinho came at him. So they was kind of passing him around a little bit, and the ref didn't have the strongest and best of games. And I think at that moment in time, City just got on top a little bit. And I think he just showed a glimpse of frustration there. And then the third bit, and I don't know if anyone's noticed, something that I have noticed in the three games that we've played at home, that top surface seems to give way very, very easily. There's a player slipping around, you know, needlessly at times. And when he went across, I don't think it was ever his intention for that standing foot to go the way it went. But it went. And I heard on, we're Saturday now, that the groundsman ain't happy with the pitch and they are lifting it in the at the end of the season. So it will be replaced already. So I don't know if they were all, well, I don't know if they were contributing factors, but it would appear that may well be the case.
Interesting. Good exclusive knowledge there, Lee. You're proving yourself on this show for once. It's all good. I'm not going to ask where you got your information or how you got it. Let's just keep it there. Okay. And we know, obviously, Harry is a big viewer and listener of the show. So, Harry, we do wish you well and hope you make a speedy recovery. So it was now time to face Huddersfield on Saturday, 12:30 kickoff. I mean, it was one of those games. Spurs of old may have struggled, but this is obviously a new Spurs. We don't struggle with games like this. Our record against promoted teams and over the past few years, I know they weren't promoted last year, but against teams down the bottom is now pretty unbelievable. We do now put these teams to the sword. He made seven changes, Pochettino, and they all worked. I thought it was a great performance. There was no legginess from the midweek game against City. He obviously was then able to also take off Sissoko and Vertonghen, so give them a bit of an extra rest. He was able to have Son on the bench. And I think what it did do is obviously gave players like Moura a chance, but also the other players who haven't played in a while, just give them an opportunity to not even just prove themselves, but just get a bit of fitness back in the game, a bit of game time, which was great. Obviously, play in the new stadium, which was amazing for them. I mean, Huddersfield aren't going to, you know, light up any stadiums anytime soon. They were pretty poor. It felt like a bit of a cup game, to be honest, in terms of like a League Cup game almost, because they were pretty poor. But still, it is a Premiership game, and you have to beat what's in front of you. And they did that very, very well. Obviously, Moura stole the show. Sissoko was once again very, very good. But I thought there was some good performances all over the pitch. And obviously, my boy Kyle Walker-Peters, who I think should be having that berth all day long. He again proved why he is better than Aurier and Trippier, because of his incisive play and his forward thinking and his pace and his skill. There were so many times when I watched the match and I was just like, that bit where he ran through and he laid Eriksen in, Aurier or Trippier would not have done that. They would have laid it off way before that moment. But he drives, he's pacey, he's forward thinking, and he can spot a pass. And I just think he brings so much more to the team when he plays. I think obviously he's probably is better in a wing back position, but I still think he'd make it as a good right back. So that Don and Lee have heard me mention this many a times, Kev. So I'll go over to you first to give me your opinion on Kyle Walker-Peters and evaluate his performances alongside that of Trippier and Aurier this season.
Well, Trippier, I think we all agree that he's just not really been at the races this year. Whether it's a one-season blip and he can get back to what he was like the year before, I'm not too sure. I think his issue has probably been because he hasn't got Kyle Walker to aim at anymore. He hasn't got someone better than him in most people's eyes to aim at and try and dislodge from the team. He's now the number one. And I don't know, maybe he's just tired. He had obviously the World Cup. Aurier, I don't know what goes on with him, to be honest. He shows glimpses. You think, yeah, he could do a job, and then he seems to have off-field issues as well. So Walker-Peters, he's young. My preference would be to buy an established right back, keep Walker-Peters as backup. If you can't get an established one, then I don't know, you then look for maybe another youngster, but then where's that leave Walker Peters? So, I don't know. Obviously, hopefully we get Champions League football. So it's a lot of games. I'm not sure about going with Walker Peters as your first choice for next season. But Greed and Aurier and Trippier, they're probably getting to the latter stages now. Walker Peters is good enough in my eyes to be understudy. But try and get someone established in.
I think experience is key. You're right. I do agree. I do agree with you. I think experience is key, especially in that right back role.
He's a perfect example for Walker Peters in terms of experience. You know, he got completely sort of caught out there, and at that level, one moment like that, you're a goal down already. Makes it very difficult. But he's young. He needs to play a bit more, I feel. So Aurier and Trippier. Aurier probably needs to go, to be honest, out of the two of them.
Lee, what was your thoughts on? Lee, I'll just go over to you. What were your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I thought the guys did a good job. There was a lot of moaning and whinging in various social media groups before the game, going, "Oh, we're going to do with this team. Still got to qualify for champ." You know, and you look at it, and seven changes against a team like Huddersfield from a team like us shouldn't be a problem. And that's what a squad's all about. And those boys kind of stepped up and showed, you know, against the Huddersfield, what a decent squad that is. Yeah, we can question it when we go squad deep against the Man City, a Liverpool, a Chelsea. I get that. But that particular squad we've got, yeah, against a Huddersfield of the world, the Huddersfields of the worlds and stuff. That's what our squad do. I thought it was good to see Wanyama play a little bit of football. I thought he took his goal superbly well. Yeah, and he needed that, you know, because he came on for the last couple of minutes against the City game, and I think we may well see a bit of him on Wednesday night at some point.
He did very well, actually, against City, didn't he? Surprisingly, because he hasn't been on form for a while, but he definitely actually came on and he just put it about a bit, which we needed.
I will say he looks fitter. He looks slightly more slimline. He looks a bit more toned rather than just kind of big and bulky. He actually looked a bit, he looks a bit slimmer and a little bit more mobile. And I know he's been doing a lot of rehab, and therefore your training's a bit different, and it may well go in his favour. So I thought he had a great game. I thought he had a very good game. I thought Sissoko was absolutely awesome again. And it's so nice that, you know, you got the 50,000 fans kind of just going mental for him.
That standing ovation, I was welling up. I just couldn't believe it. It was such a nice moment. It was just like, it's so deserved. And his transformation, forget about Tiger Woods, I'm talking about Sissoko. It was literally like, you know, it was just incredible. And that, it was honestly, it was such a good feeling to have that standing ovation for him. So well deserved. And it was literally like spine tingling.
And I think you got to kind of hone in on that a little bit and think, once upon a time, there's 50,000 fans cheering for him when he's leaving the pitch, because he was leaving the pitch. You know, go, God, don't want to see him have a performance like that again. You know, now you've got like 50,000 plus fans on there giving him a standing ovation, going, thank God he's off the pitch, getting rested for Wednesday night.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and that's where we've come from. So I thought he was awesome. I thought Wanyama was brilliant. Moura had a great game, you know, and took his goals well, you know, really stepped up. I thought Foyth had a good game, but I would expect him to against that sort of opposition.
Yeah.
I really would. So, yeah, I think the replacements, of, you know, they came in and did a job. I thought, Ericsson, yeah, just, I know.
Here we go, here we go.
Oh, God.
Oh,
I just grab
a game. Do you know what it is, right? For me, just don't go nowhere near a dead ball. For the next 6-7 games, leave every dead ball alone. Just play your game. Run around and just do everything else that you do. Forget the balls.
Because how bad they're getting.
He's getting a spotlight upon himself now, and it's not a good look. And if he ain't going to sign that new contract, we've gone from 150 million to 100 million already. So if he can stop hitting dead balls, that'd be great. Yeah. But, you know, he was industrious. And again, he's going to walk off with a couple of assists. But I didn't think he was that great.
No, he definitely didn't do as well as I would like. So Don, question for you. I was really surprised when I saw the, as Lee touched on, the social media, like literally the meltdown when that lineup was announced. And it was, I just couldn't believe it. Like, you're talking about playing against Huddersfield. You're talking about having to obviously conserve energy for the game next week. But you're also talking about, you know, we're not replacing him with like absolute rubbish. We're talking about like still international players here. And it just mystifies me how people can be so narrow-minded and just so naive to what we have as a squad. And I just could not believe it. And it was so many of them were just like on these Facebook groups just getting ripped, because obviously, you know, it was like, we're expecting Champions League and it's 4-0. And it's like, who's going to get the goals? Oh, Moura's going to get the goal. He's going to get three of them, you mug. And it's just like, it's insanity. I just can't believe it. Just so,
no, do you know what? I've got to agree with you on all of that. I mean, even seeing the lineup, I thought that's quite decent, really. We couldn't have picked a better game to have after Man City. I mean, if you had to play one team, it would have been Huddersfield after the war that we just went through and lost, you know, we got one player's out for the season, another, you know, broke his hand. So to play against a team that has nothing to play for, has no fight in the team, allows you to make those changes. And we did that, and successfully. The players that came in played in their positions, so it was needed for, and we were lucky to have a game like that, because then you would start questioning if we'd had Liverpool, for instance, after Man City, it would have been tough putting those players into that position. But the 90 minutes for Wanyama, I think, you know, it was definitely needed. I can see him being used a lot more towards, you know, this part of the season. Again, as you said, Sissoko was great.
Lorente's performance, fantastic.
No goals, but you know, laying it off. The fact that players, you know, the pace of players trust him when he's got the ball. You see them all moving forward. Kyle Walker-Peters, you know, is busting the gut once he knows Lorente's got that ball. I'm really excited about the rest of the season, just because, you know, I know with Kane, you know, he's pretty much going to play every single game. But, you know, it's refreshing to see what will happen with the likes of Llorente. I think, you know, he definitely has the trust of the other attacking players around him, for sure.
I agree. So, Kevin and Lee, just quickly on Llorente's performance, if you were to give him a mark out of 10, and if you could describe his performance in three words. Lee, you first.
I'd give him an 8.5 out of 10. three words.
Yep. Nothing like putting someone on the spot on a podcast.
Right. Great first touch.
Oh, rubbish. Okay, Kevin, over to you. You've had your go, Kevin.
I will give him an 8 and 3 words. Start him Wednesday.
Love it. Love that.
I would add, but you gave me 3 words.
So we've already touched on it so far this evening, but it's now time to talk about the second leg of the Champions League quarterfinal. And we go up to the Etihad with a 1-0 lead after the first leg. So we've got that clean sheet, which obviously means that if we do score, which I think we're definitely capable of, and we do score in most games, then obviously that would mean they would need to score 3. They're more than capable of doing so, don't get me wrong, and they could well score 5. But let's just find out your opinions on, firstly, we did talk about team selection, our end. So, Kevin, you are obviously a fan of Llorente and think he should be starting on Wednesday, going in your 3 words. You would go with Llorente up front, and who else would you have in that team? You would go with the back 4 or back 3, and then who else would you have surrounding Llorente?
I'd have a back 4, yeah. So, obviously, it depends on Ali. If Ali's not playing, then it picks itself. I think, obviously, saw Moura off of Llorente, say, hold the ball up, use the pace, try and hit him on the break. If we get the first goal, then that just plays into our hands, I think, with Llorente there. If Ali is fit, and you do start Llorente, I don't know. It's hard to leave Son out, but then Moore's got a hat trick. I don't know.
And Eriksen, you remember you need Eriksen for those dead balls.
I'm really struggling with Eriksen at the moment.
you're not the only one.
I heard a stat on the radio. So I only saw half of Huddersfield, and I was on the way to football, and they rolled out a stat that said he's second in the league for most involvement in goals. Yep. And I'm thinking maybe I'm being harsh on him, but I don't think I am. He just doesn't seem like he wants to be there.
It's interesting. He's definitely having a bit of a strange time. I would agree, and he does have these dips in forms, but as with good players, he is still involved in goals. He is, and that can't be denied. And it's also the same as Ali. When Ali a couple of seasons ago had the same dip in form, and people were saying he's not doing enough, but statistically he still was. So it is a tough one, I think, to sort of try and work out what is exactly going on. Maybe his head has been turned. It is hard to say.
Yeah.
So Don, how do we think we're going to play out there? Do you think we're going to go out there? And I think it's probably the worst thing to do would try and sit back, isn't it? And invite pressure on, especially with the attacking players they have. So I think maybe just try and sort of go for the goal, really. So maybe Llorente is a good option up front.
I have to agree with you there. I think we have to score. I can't see it being 0-0. And Llorente definitely would be a good focal point, you know, for just like at least for Alderweireld or for Vertonghen to pass balls from the back. Just going back to the Eriksen thing, I kind of have to agree with the guys here. In the starting lineup for City, he's one of the players that I feel like we should kind of. I mean, it would be unheard of to take him out of the team, but if you're playing a back four. And you're definitely going to play maybe Wanyama and Sissoko in midfield. That leaves one more space. And I'm not really sure that goes to Eriksen because Moura and Son and Llorente are going to be playing in the front three. So that just leaves one space. And for me, I'd give it to Ali. I would give that to Ali. I'd play Ali on the left, Sissoko on the right and Wanyama in the middle. That's what I would do.
I think the only thing with that doesn't really offer much attacking change from the bench. And I think they may prefer to bring Moura off the bench to offer like a 20-minute sort of cameo when the City players are tiring. I think that's probably the way I'll go. If Ali is fit, I think that might be the way he goes. And also Winks is maybe not fit. I don't know if Wanyama would start with Sissoko if Winks is fit. I'm pretty sure Winks would start with Sissoko, but Eriksen will start. There's no question Eriksen will start. He's definitely not going to drop him in this game. He's one of the most experienced, even though he is still quite young, you know, so he does step up for the big game, but I think there is something missing. I mean, Lee, obviously, I know I don't want to go into it with you because, like I said, we've only got another, you know, hour. No, we haven't. Just talk about the game in general. I don't want you to talk about Eriksen because, you know, your daughter's next door and I don't want her to hear words that she shouldn't hear. So she's next door in your house, by the way. Okay, let's just talk about the game. How should we approach the game? What's the best way for us to approach the game?
Look, I think for me, I wouldn't be too dissimilar from last week. And I know that sounds a little bit surprising. Because people tend to take a different approach in European games. We've got a 1-0 lead. I think we can, and I think we should liken it to the Carabao Cup against Chelsea, the way we kind of went about that. And there's a very similar situation, losing Kane in there as well. I think we've got to approach it right. And as Kev points out, Llorente, after that performance, not a bad shout. Stick him up there, occupy their two centre-backs, and let's try and pop the ball into him. And Eriksen will play here. Listen, I don't have a massive problem with Eriksen's kind of on-field play. It's some of the stuff that he's not doing particularly well at the moment. So you still need him. We still need him in there and on there to link up the play. He's still the go-to guy. You know, when we pick up the ball, the rest of the players still look up,
first point of call is Ericsson, and it's through him to move the ball on. So he's still very integral to what we do in our in the way we transition our play. So I wouldn't drop him, especially at this stage. And as you allude to, his experience is still, you know, it's still massive out there, and it's gonna be a night for experienced heads. So he's got to be out there. I'd go with Llorente, and Sonny's got to play because he offers that all-round threat. I know Moore offers you speed and he can run at people, but he doesn't do that for 90. So for me, he would be the impact sub. He would be the go-to sub.
I quite like Llorente-Son combination as well, because I think Son does like that, playing off someone Son, like that.
Yeah. And I think when he came back from the Asia Cup, Llorente was in the team and he kind of made Llorente click a little bit more as well. He seemed to kind of give him the ball and he got it back a few more times. And so I think there's a little bit of an understanding there. So it would be Son and Llorente for me. And I think we'd go with that until we could hold them out for a little while, you know, maybe catch them. And then if they have to open up and come at us, then it'll time to whip him off and get more on and do them for a bit of pace.
So prediction times now. I'm just nervous thinking about it, to be honest. I definitely don't want to go first on this one. So, Kevin, Kev, seeing as you're the it's your first show, we'll let you go first. What is your prediction on the score?
I'm going to go another 1-0, 2-0 in aggregate.
Another 1-0 victory. My lord, you can come again with that sort of positivity. Sheesh kebab. Well, okay. All right. Fair enough.
A nervy 0-0 to about 82nd minute. Nick and goal on the break. Oof.
Okay, I mean, I'd be very happy with that. All right, Dom, what are your thoughts?
It's tough. For me, I'm going to go 2-1 to City.
2-1 City and us through and away goals?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, and Lee?
I do like the sound of that, Don, but I think I'm going to edge for a 1-1 on the night.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. All right. Oh man, I have no idea. I literally have no idea. I think it could go so many ways, but I'm going to predict that we're going to go through, and so I will. I'll go with Don. I'll say 2-1 as well. But I think we will do enough. But oh man, I'm getting so excited about it already. Can't wait. It's time to talk about our league game this Easter Saturday, 12:30 kickoff against Manchester City. Obviously, this is a little bit dependent on the European game, I think, in a way, I suppose. But obviously, we know that City now have to try and win every game. It's likely that Liverpool are going to win every game. So this game is going to be massively important for them. Obviously, equally as important for us in trying to maintain that third position. This is obviously is our hardest league game by far with our remaining fixtures. So do you think, firstly, Lee, that the Champions League game is going to have a massive effect on this? Or do you think no matter what, it will be an important game for both teams and they will come out and they will put on a good show?
Both massive games. Wednesday and Saturday, both massive games. One of us have got to go out on Wednesday and one of us both has something to chase come Saturday when you get back down to the business. They're chasing the league and we're chasing to make sure that this currently best in the world football stadium is got Champions League football next season. It's a huge game. And I fancy us, by the way, just so it's on record, to leave this season, having played City four times, lost to them once, beaten once, and drawn with them twice.
Okay. He's already thrown his prediction in the hat there, Don. What's all that about? Do you agree with that? What kind of game do you think it's going to be? I'm not a fan of these lunchtime kickoffs anyways, but Easter Saturday, man.
It's too early. That's ridiculous. But it's our biggest week. It's our biggest week of the season, hands down. You might have had more games to play in the week, like 3 games in 10 days. But we've got these 2 games and, you know, I'm not going to repeat what Lee said, but even, you know, no matter what happens after Wednesday, you feel as if like there's going to be one of the teams going to be licking their wounds. If we were to go through, does that get a reaction from City on the Saturday? And I think going back to the same ground, playing the same, well, not exactly the same team, I think Pochettino has to think of it as, you know, I know it's one game at a time, but he must be thinking of these two games in a cluster because of the importance of both of those games. I think we're going to get a draw on Saturday. Okay. We're going to get a draw.
Okay, cool. All right, so Lee, did you actually have a prediction or you just said draw again?
Going for a draw. I'll go for a 2-2, actually, on Saturday.
2-2, all right, okay. So, Don, what are you going for?
I'm going to go for a 1-1.
1-1, okay. And then, Kev, if you say 1-0 again, I can't.
I'm going to go draw on this. I think it's tough to call. I think where we might fall down compared to City is obviously the strength of their squad versus ours, depending how Wednesday obviously goes. I don't think the two games sort of, I don't think they impact on each other too much. But the strength and depth of City's squad, I think, might just edge it for them. But we're capable of getting a draw. Obviously, depends on tonight's result. I mean, if that goes our way and Watford get a win, then while Saturday's still important, you know, even if we do drop points, we're obviously not in pole position, but it's, you know, it hasn't been a bad sort of couple of weeks for us. And if we come out of the City game only maybe 2-3 points off to third place, I think we'll be fine because the other teams have got the harder games after that. So, yeah, but I'll go 1-1 draw.
1-1 draw, and I'm going to join you on that 1-1 draw. I like this confident show, these confident predictions. That's what it's all about. Fingers crossed, our predictions will come true and we will have a fantastic week. Can't wait. It's just whet my appetite talking about the games. It's incredible. And great that we're in the position to be able to talk about these games and fingers crossed, it will all happen for us. So thank you very much for taking part in today's show. Thank you very much, firstly, to Kevin. First time on the show, but it's been a pleasure having you on here. Hope to have you again.
Thank you.
Thank you to Lee, who managed to rein in that Ericsson rant a little bit. So well done, sir.
Those
anger management classes are obviously paying off. Well done. And Lee. Exactly. And Don, obviously, once again, thank you very much for giving us your feedback and your punditry. Thanks very much for watching and listening, everybody. We are the Thing I Love Most show. We are available on Twitter, TTILM show, on Facebook, The Thing I Love Most show, on Instagram, TTILM show. And the show is available on all various podcast outlets and also available on YouTube as well if you wanted to see us in the flesh looking like idiots with various forms of headsets. It's a massive week. Best of luck to the team. And I hope everyone enjoys the week. And come on, you Spurs.